Chapter 36. Crap! 3 days later, Skippy confirmed that schedule. We could see that 11 ships were linked together, testing the device, and it was clear they found problems because those ships went back to have their framework modified. A second test in space was conducted, apparently with more success. Then they conducted a test with 22 ships hovering over a large rocky asteroid. An energy field that looked like a hollow lance slowly extended down towards the asteroid's dull gray surface, then punched into it like a plasma cutter. In the center of the field, chunks of glowing debris were pulled up between and past the ring of ships, being ejected out beyond them like a fountain. That test continued until they had bored a hole all the way through the asteroid that was 700 kilometers across. "That is not good news," Skippy grumbled. "Not good for us. That asteroid is dense and iron-rich, not easy to drill into. Their tractor-beam lance could easily penetrate the layer of water and methane ice below us." Okay, I thought. "But they don't know that for sure. They will need to test it here." "They are already making preparations to do that. The test site will likely be on the other side of the planet from our position, so we can't interfere." Shit! He was right about that. In the dense air, Valkyrie was moving at supersonic speed, which sounded fast, but was not. The planet was big, and we couldn't increase our airspeed significantly for a sustained sprint, not without severe damage to the ship. "I took a gamble, and I'm losing. Time. We need more time. The wheels in my brain were turning. Slowly. Time. Skippy, can you make it look like our engines are in bad shape?" "They are in bad shape, I keep telling you that. In worse condition than they already are. Sure, I could retune the..." "Wait, why are we doing this?" "To buy time. If Riker thinks we are running out of options down here, he won't be in such a rush to take a gamble with that tractor beam."
"Ah, I think I understand what you're thinking. We make it look like Valkyrie can't remain down here much longer."
"Exactly. To sell it, I'm going to open negotiations with Admiral Asshole." Reichert made me wait when I contacted him. When he finally did respond, 7 hours later, he was as haughty and arrogant as I expected a Maxalt's senior admiral to be. His confidence was boosted by another successful test of the tractor beam, though he didn't know that I knew about that. I expected him to boast about how he soon would be able to blast Valkyrie to vapor and still recover Skippy, but he didn't mention it. He was probably waiting until after a test drill into the actual ice layer of the planet. Also, Skippy recently saw the production of antennas had slowed significantly. He thought the kiddies were having difficulty finding enough of the proper raw materials in the resource-poor star system. Both of those factors played in our favor. They delayed the time when Riker would be confident enough to bombard us with the massed fire of several hundred ships. We exchanged pleasantries, by which I mean I listened to him monologuing like a villain in a bad James Bond movie about how he knew our engines were failing and we had no options. For my part of the charade, I did nothing to change his mind. To stall for time, I needed him to be supremely confident. Overconfident. "Would only like to discuss sending part of my crew up into orbit," I said after the negotiations had dragged on over an hour. "That is all I wish to discuss."
"I have no interest in guaranteeing the safety of your crew," he replied, as if I would ever trust anything he said. "Unless you include something that benefits my people."
"I am not sending the Elder AI to you. Do you think I am stupid?" He didn't answer for a beat, letting the silence speak for him.
"We both know your engines will not last more than another 10, perhaps 12 days. I may simply do nothing until you are forced to bring your ship out of the atmosphere."
It was my turn to pause, to make him think I didn't know what to say. We were communicating by audio only. I was in a conference room with Sims and Smythe. It was kind of odd to be aboard one of the most advanced starships in the galaxy, while two people wrote notes on post-it pads and passed them to me. Mostly, my executive officer and the star team leader didn't have much to contribute. We wargamed the negotiations before I called Admiral Asshole. So far, it was going pretty much the way we expected. "Admiral Reichert," I took a breath deep enough to be heard over the audio and added a bit of a tremble in my voice. "Do you have an offer for me?"
Yes. There was no mistaking the tone of triumph in his voice, alien though it was. Bring your ship up, to and beyond orbit. One of my ships will come alongside once you have achieved escape velocity.
He said that because once Valkyrie was moving fast enough not to be recaptured by the planet's gravity well, Skippy could not fall back into the planet.
You will transfer the Elder AI to my ship. Then I will drop our damping fields and you may jump away to wherever you like.
I will consider it.
You would be wise to do so.
His voice softened, and he probably intended to be sincere, but he sounded like a smarmy used car salesman.
Colonel Bishop, be reasonable. The accomplishments of your people have been incredible. No one can deny that. To acquire one of our warships and elder weapons is impressive, particularly considering you have been working under the disadvantages of your primitive biology and culture.
He paused, maybe so I could mutter thanks for his praise. When I didn't say anything, he went on a bit awkwardly.
As I said, you must be reasonable and realistic. Your people should not possess elder weapons. Your culture is not ready to be entrusted with such dangerous power. Give us the Elder AI, and we will have no further reason to quarrel with humans. Your people may develop on their own, in peace, without interference from a being beyond your understanding.
What about Valkyrie? I played along with him.
Though my superiors may question me later,
he said in a "we are both military officers" appeal to me.
You may keep the ship, though I suspect, without assistance from the Elder AI, you will soon find it difficult to keep your ship in flight-worthy condition.
I will need to think about this. Admiral, you understand that if I agree to your proposal, while I still have other options, my superiors will consider a surrender to be an act of cowardice.
They are not here, Colonel Bishop, my new best buddy said smoothly. I do understand. You must understand that my patience is not without limit. You cannot take forever to consider my most generous offer.
My engines won't last forever, I admitted. I need to discuss your offer with my senior staff. Admiral, you need to consider how you can offer me a guarantee that my ship will not be destroyed after we give Skippy to you.
A guarantee?
His smooth buddy act slipped a bit.
I can guarantee that you will not get a better offer.
Very well.
As you are responsible for the lives of your crew, I am willing to consider offering an assurance that we will uphold our end of the agreement.
The back-and-forth negotiations went on for days, while Skippy retuned our engines to make it look like one or more of them could fail at any moment. Reichert's assurance was that after we exceeded escape velocity by a set number, one ship would approach us, with the rest of his fleet withdrawing to beyond weapons range. It sounded like a good deal, except Valkyrie would still be trapped in a damping field and Reichert could jump his entire fleet on top of us in a heartbeat. Playing nice with that asshole was making me lose my appetite. It also worked in our favor. Skippy reported the Maxalts had dramatically slowed down their work to fit ships with antennas for the scaled-up tractor beam, and the kiddies were not conducting any more tests. Everything was going great, or as well as could be expected. At some point, Reichert's patience would run out, or he would realize our engines were not failing quite as quickly as they appeared to be. Until then, we were buying time. If the lazy freaking spiders did not show up soon, it would all be for nothing. For once, Skippy's timing was perfect. He did not wake me up in the middle of the night. He didn't call while I was in the shower or doing sprints on a treadmill. A treadmill was involved. I had one hand on a railing to step on when he spoke into my earpiece.
Uh-oh, Joe. We got trouble.
Immediately, I stepped to the side and waved to the guy behind me that the treadmill was available. Before answering, I walked out of the gym to avoid breaking the unwritten rule of no talking on the phone while in the gym. People who do that are jerks, and unfortunately, I'm kind of an expert on being that type of jerk.
What is it, Skippy?
Out in the passageway, I turned toward a bulkhead so curious people in the gym couldn't read my lips. We just got swept by a scanning beam. Don't worry. Our shields blocked it. They didn't see anything useful.
Okay. Why is this a problem?
Are they just verifying our location again?
The ships upstairs regularly pinged us with active sensor pulses to make sure they knew exactly where we were. Maybe they were afraid we would use Skippy magic to wrap Valkyrie in a stealth field and slip away while we used a dropship to project an image of our battlecruiser. Which, by the way, is an idea we considered until Skippy shot it down as an example of stupid monkeys not being able to understand physics. We might be able to conceal Valkyrie from enemy sensors. We might even be able to use a dropship as a decoy for a short time before the dropship's power cells burned out from the enormous power drain. But not even Skippy's awesome magnificence could make our battlecruiser move through thick air without creating ripples that spread out all the way to the top of the atmosphere. There just was not any way to push the massive bulk of our ship through the air without shoving aside a volume of air equal to the ship's size. Yes, we could minimize the disturbance by changing the shape of our energy shields to establish a laminar flow around us. All that did was minimize turbulence. The kiddies could still see the wake we left as we flew, so Skippy was right to shoot down that idea. Dropping Valkyrie into Snow Cone was a desperation move, but better than getting blasted by 1,000 ships. It was also like climbing a tree when you're being chased by a bear. All the bear has to do is wait on the ground. It knows you eventually have to come down. Except, bears can climb trees. Okay, that was a bad example, but you know what I mean.
No, the scanning beam is different from a sensor pulse. Joe, the scan was not directed at the ship. It was focused on our wake.
Oh, shit. You see the problem?
Maybe.
They're analyzing our engine output?
Correct. I would tell you to get a juice box, but I'm kind of scared out of my mind, you know?
Yeah, me too. Give me the bad news.
As requested, I have been faking engine distress. The kiddies are very familiar with the characteristics of these engines, so I'm limited in the type of failure I can imitate. The sensor data they've been seeing makes sense to them. It shows our engine degrading in a pattern that is believable and predictable.
Right. In a few days when our engines don't fail, they will know we've been scamming them.
Ah, it's worse than that. To stall for time, I have been pretending to conduct running repairs, temporarily improving the condition of one engine at a time. I may have used that trick too many times. The kitties upstairs are suspicious. That's why they scanned our wake. Joe, they are not going to detect the mix of ions that should be left behind us if our engine thrust chambers really were degrading.
Shit. How long until...
I suspect their AIs have already informed Admiral Reichert that we have been screwing with him.
Crap.
I slumped against the bulkhead and saw people in the gym whispering to themselves. They couldn't read my lips. They didn't have to. Body language was clear.
Has Riker tried to contact me?
Not yet.
He will.
Okay, I need to talk with Sims about this.
Crap!
We needed those 2 days.
2 days will not make a difference for us, Joe. The spiders won't be here fast enough to bail us out of this mess.
2 days is 2 more than we have now, I said. But he was right. Maybe I can give Reichert another bullshit excuse. I'll try to think of something. By the time I got to my office, still dressed for the gym, Skippy had more bad news for me.
Joe, I just intercepted a message from one support ship to another. The first ship apparently has been ordered to go back into full-rate production on antennas, and the crew protested because they had taken some of the fabricators offline for repairs. They requested clarification of the orders. The second ship replied that the Admiral's staff had determined we never intended to surrender, and he is pissed that we played him. He wants the tractor beam to be completed as soon as possible.
Damn. We knew that would happen when they discovered we'd been faking engine distress.
Yes, but now you can't use a bullshit story to stall for time. Reichert won't listen to you.
You're right. I sat down heavily in the chair, grateful it was oversized for me. The height was adjusted so my feet could touch the deck, but it was still too big for a human. Sure, I could have replaced it with a normal chair from Earth, as Sim suggested, or asked Skippy to fabricate something for me. I didn't want that. Each time I walked into my office and saw that chair, it reminded me that someone else had sat in that chair before me, and it reminded me that bad shit could happen when you least expect it. The previous captain of our ship certainly had not expected trouble during a routine transition through a wormhole until we sliced his ship in 2 pieces. Wait. Something about what Skippy said wasn't right. You intercepted a message? The kiddies were being super careful about ComSec. Maybe they know we're listening, and this is a ruse.
I don't think so. He crushed my faint hope immediately. The support ships are clustered way out in the asteroid belt. They have been exchanging routine message traffic since they arrived. I haven't mentioned it because they haven't said anything interesting until now. Also, those two support ships immediately got slammed by a cruiser captain for breaking security protocols, and they have gone silent. It was a screw-up, Joe. We're lucky I heard the transmissions.
We must consider taking direct action, Smythe declared when he and Sims were told about the suddenly accelerated timeline.
Okay. I liked the idea of doing something rather than sitting and waiting for doom to fall on us out of the sky. How can we do that?
Smythe nodded to me and addressed a question to our AI.
Skippy, do you know their schedule for testing?
Not exactly. They have assembled a group of modified ships in high orbit. For reasons I don't entirely understand, their tests always involve multiples of 11. 22 heavy cruisers, equipped with tractor beam antennas, are on trajectories that will bring them into contact with the atmosphere in 19 hours on the other side of the planet. They are accompanied by 8 battleships and 2 squadrons of destroyers. I do not know whether the battleships will descend with the test ships.
What are you thinking? I asked Smythe.
22 ships will be down here, he noted. Even deeper in the atmosphere than we are. To drill into the ice, they will have to be traveling slowly.
I expect they will need to hover over the site, Skippy interjected. If I was conducting the tests, I would fire a railgun dart into the ice, then try to recover it. That is the only way to realistically simulate digging me out of the ice layer. The kitties are most likely doing something like that.
The test ships will be vulnerable while they are hovering. I looked at Smythe.
Is that what you mean by direct action?
Quite so, he agreed.
We can't fly the ship to the test site, Skippy warned. Our speed is limited when we're flying through this soup, and the enemy will select a test site on the other side of the planet from wherever we are. By the time we got close enough to launch weapons, the battleships will have moved to intercept.
Yeah, but... I rubbed my chin while I thought.
We could disrupt the test.
Reichert won't move against us until he is certain the scaled-up tractor beam works properly. The battleships can't hit us hard. Not while we're down here.
Ah, Skippy let out a breath. That explains it.
Explains what?
Why the test ships are in 2 groups of 11 on different trajectories. They expect us to make an attempt to disrupt the testing, so they will test at 2 sites. We can't disrupt both sites.
Well, I spoke for all 3 of us.
Crap.
Hold on. Sims leaned forward toward Skippy's avatar. The Maxalts aren't aware that we know about their tractor beam program, are they?
Skippy blinked.
Not that I know of.
It doesn't matter. Once those ships descend below the cloud layer, we will know they are here and they wouldn't be doing anything to benefit us, so...
XO, that is a good point, I said to Sims. If we react right away, they will suspect we are somehow intercepting their comms.
From across the table, I saw Smythe was wearing his I am being patient face.
Smythe?
I was not suggesting we use the ship's guns, he said with an irritated glance at Skippy, which the beer can cluelessly ignored.
Well, Skippy plunged ahead, we certainly can't launch missiles at them. The fleet upstairs would blow them out of the sky before they could do anything useful. This is a bad environment for missiles anyway. Their motors are designed for sprints, not continuous cruising. I suppose if I knew where the test sites will be, we could...
No, that wouldn't work either.
No, it...
Skippy, I glared at him.
Yes?
Shut the hell up and let Colonel Smythe talk.
Ah!
I shushed him.
Smythe nodded to me.
His relationship with Skippy had greatly improved over the years. He still did not tolerate nonsense the way I had to.
How many of the tractor beam ships, plus their escorts, are infected with malware?
Blow up those ships? I groaned.
We can't do that. We need to keep that capability a secret until we're ready to escape.
Smythe's right eye twitched. He was now irritated with me.
I was thinking, sir, that Skippy might use his access to play havoc with their test apparatus.
Skippy pondered the idea.
Huh. Maybe I should shut up and listen more often.
Can you do that? Sims asked. Affect their test results?
Jeez. Skippy took off his hat and pretended to scratch his head. Maybe. I don't know. It would be very tricky. None of the antenna ships are infected. They were too far away, and each ship had to conduct a full diagnostic and purge before it was accepted in the conversion program. The kitties are being very careful because they know about, you know, my extreme awesomeness. I kinda screwed myself there, you know. Rolling my eyes, I asked, "Can your extreme awesomeness please answer the question?"
I said, "I don't know yet." That software was very specific. It evolved in one direction with one goal, to give me access to the control AI of a ship-killer missile, and to cover its tracks at every step along the way. I sprained my brain to create the original fragments of that software and embed it in the DNA of the kitties we captured, to unwind it so it could somehow leap to one of the tractor beam ships and mess up the test. Whew! Wow, my brain hurts just thinking about it.
Would you rather be on display in some kitty's office as a souvenir?
Good point, he mumbled.
All I can promise is that I will try, okay? That's all we can ask. When can you start?
He didn't answer.
Skippy?
Huh?
When can you...
I am working on it, and it would go faster if I wasn't interrupted by monkeys screeching at me every freaking second.
Placing a finger to my lips, I gestured for Sims and Smythe to follow me into the passageway.
If this works, I pointed to our star leader, I'm giving you top marks.
That amused him.
Something to post on my locker to impress the lads?
I'll see what I can do.
Huh.
What?
The question was from Sims.
Well, the era of us sneaking around is over, right? I thought open warfare would be tough, but more straightforward. Yet here we are doing sneaky shit again.
We're outgunned literally 1,000 to 1. We don't have a choice, Sims noted. Besides, sneaky shit worked pretty well for us, she added with a smile.
Doing sneaky shit is what got us here, I said.
Bilby?
I'm here, dude.
Hey, Skippy will be distracted for...
You don't have to tell me.
The ship's AI interrupted.
He dumped the entire ship's operation on me without any notice. This is bogus, man.
You can handle it?
Oh, sure.
He gave a dramatic sigh.
No problemo.
Well, Joe.
Skippy's avatar appeared on my desk looking very pleased with himself.
I despaired. Truly, I thought the task was impossible, even for me. Yet, because I am me, I persevered. This might be one of my greatest accomplishments, although,
he shrugged in a display of false modesty, the only type of modesty he understood.
Who could say which of my accomplishments is the greatest? Anyway, I am very proud to announce that,
I mumbled through a mouthful of the sandwich I'd just bitten into.
Bilby told me what he did.
He did?
Skippy stuttered.
Yep. He explained how you declared it was impossible and you did give up until he reminded you how he evolved. Then he helped you create a model of the substrate aboard a Maxulk's destroyer, and the two of you figured out how to teach a malware to evolve itself so it can do what we want.
You're saying that is not true?
Well, I'm sure Bilby greatly exaggerated his part, and
he told me you would say that too. As proof of his contribution, he created this very informative 83-slide PowerPoint deck. I turned my laptop around to face Skippy.
Jeez, Joe, don't believe everything you see in a PowerPoint.
He included 700 terabytes of supporting documents if you care to look at...
Well, he huffed, that can all be faked.
How about you simply be an adult and credit Bilby for assisting you?
Ugh, fine, if I have to.
That wasn't so hard, was it?
I'm dying inside, Joe.
I feel terrible about that. So will this work?
Shmaybe.
You really want to try this?
What's the downside?
That it will only work once? The kitties will be confused about the test results the first time, and they will likely pull the ships back into orbit to analyze what went wrong. After they compare the data from individual ships to the official results, they will realize we screwed with the data. This whole scheme might buy us only one day.
One is better than zero, Skippy. Thank you. No need to thank me, Joe. It's the least I can thank Bilby for me. Ugh. I'm gonna hurl.
Skippy was right. Not about him puking, about the tests. The kiddies did send two groups of 11 ships down deep near the ice layer, and as he suggested, they fired a railgun dart into it. Not just one dart. They bombarded a section of ice with hundreds of darts to simulate a debris field if Valkyrie exploded. That makes sense. We should have known they would do that. The test ships needed to locate one particular dart, then drill down to it and pull it up with the tractor beam. Neither of the tests was successful. They were halted after about 3 hours, and the test ships climbed back into orbit. To sell the story that we didn't know what was happening, I called Reichert, demanding to know what he was doing with all those ships. He ignored me, as I expected. Our effort to delay the test program worked for a while. 31 hours after the first test, the same ships descended again for a second set of drilling and recovery. That time they were successful. We knew that because those ships transmitted their results in the clear. They wanted us to know what they were doing, and how screwed we were. Shit. The kiddies only needed to wait until they had all 88 ships converted with tractor beam antennas, then Reichert could blast us with the massed fire of 1,000 ships. He was calling my bluff, and the clock was running out on us. The spiders would not arrive in time to save us.